and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Good morning and welcome to God's Word is Truth. This morning we are picking up again on question and answer number 21, what is true faith? And the Catechism says that true faith is not only a sure knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also a hearty trust. And notice that the Catechism says, which the Holy Ghost works in me by the gospel. Now, notice it's the Holy Ghost that works, the Holy Spirit works in us, the hearty trust to believe the promise of the gospel, and He works in that trust through the gospel. So it's not only that He works in us and through us by the gospel, He causes us to have the hearty trust in the gospel through the gospel. See, so it's amazing, isn't it? Because the fact that, what do we need as Christians?
Jesus Christ.
We need Christ. And Christ is revealed to us how?
In the gospel.
In the gospel, through His Word. And this is where we partake of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We believe on Him, we trust in Him, we trust in His person and in His work. As the Puritans used to say, we close with all of the offices of Christ, that He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. And so it's we hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but it's also that hearty trust which the Holy Ghost works in me by the gospel. When you have this hearty trust, how does that affect your life when you walk in this day and age, when things don't go your way? How do you respond when you have the hearty trust in the Word of God?
Well, it's a relief to know you're not in control. When you think you're in control, when you want to be in control, and everybody wants to be in control, you can't do it.
How about the death of a family member who is a believer? How does the hearty trust affect you at that point?
You know where their salvation lies. You know that they have been brought into eternal life and that they will never die. They are in heaven.
What about the hearty trust in reference to your children?
It's a great comfort knowing that they're brought up in the covenant.
Brought up in the covenant, that they hear the Word of God. If one's going to be saved, it's going to be through the hearing of the Word of God, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10. So the hearty trust really affects every area and every aspect of our life. The Catechism, thinking about back in the, when we, coming up to the providence of God, we start talking about that, and what happens in adversity when you have the hearty trust?
You're patient.
You're unable to be patient.
Yeah.
What happens in prosperity when you have the hearty trust?
You can rejoice.
You can be thankful to God, right?
Yeah.
You can be thankful that He's the one who has given you all that you have, your life, your breath, everything. So you give glory to God. And for the future, when you have a hearty trust, how does that affect you in your future life? How does it affect you for tomorrow and 10 years down the road if the Lord gives you that time on this earth?
Don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry. You recognize that Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't have need. I don't have lack. He's the one who provides for me. In a real sense, Christ has taken responsibility for His sheep.
He's lived in our place and He's died in our place that we might belong to Him. He purchased us by His precious blood. Not with silver and gold, but with His precious blood. He bought us to be His own. He's taken responsibility of us to care for us, to preserve us, to increase the church, to protect the church, to watch over the church, to feed the church, to love the church, to nourish the church. He cherishes the church. He does so because He purchased the church with His own blood. And when you have that hearty trust, you look to the only Savior. The Holy Spirit works faith in your heart not to look to yourself. That's a great sin for a believer, is to look to ourselves as if we're sufficient. The Holy Spirit works faith in your heart to look to the object of your faith. We talked about the object of faith, and people have false faith, and they have there is a false object that they look to. You were never meant to be the Messiah. We as human beings were never given to save ourselves. We were never enabled to save ourselves. God gave His Son to save His people from their sins. And so that the Holy Spirit works faith in your heart that you would look to that very Savior. The question is, if you call yourself a Christian and you're not looking to Jesus, or you're looking to Jesus plus other things, why is that? Do you, number one, at best case scenario, you're a weak believer and you have not spent the time and the means of grace that you ought. The means of grace, the Word of God, the sacraments, prayer, fellowship, reading good books. I mean, things that God has given to us. The main things are the Word of God, the preaching of the Holy Gospel, and the sacraments. And then there are the other things, the prayer, spending time with the Lord in prayer, and fellowship with other believers, and reading things that will edify and encourage you. And if you're not doing those things, you will be weak.
Well, you can't have trust. I mean, a trust in a person... You have trusted me to show up today to do this program because you have knowledge of me and you understand me and you know me. But if you don't know God, you're not going to have trust in those things.
That's right. The more that we spend time together, you know, we've known each other for, 12 years, 13 years. And the more we spend time together, the more we know each other's character.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that, and I know if I tell you guys this time, that time, I don't have to hold your hand. I know that you're going to be here. You know, I know that you say you're going to do something, you're going to do something. That's a great blessing to me because it's one thing off the agenda, you know? I don't have to be concerned with that. You're responsible men. And I know that as we go on, as we grow together as brothers in Christ, we grow in that mutual trust because we do what we say we're going to do. Now, you know those people that they say they're going to do something and it doesn't get done 6 months down the road. I mean, you don't even put stock in it. I know guys that I won't want to be on committee with. I'll just say it like that because I know certain work won't get done. But that's believing and trusting Christ for who He is. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He works that into us that we will believe and trust through the gospel. And so we need that gospel. The gospel not only is the means, the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1, which the Holy Spirit, through that proclamation of the word, hearing the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul speaks of in Romans 10, that He creates faith to look to Christ, to be strengthened by Christ. Christ is my strengthening. You know, it can be a case where believers, as they go on in life, think that they don't need certain elements of the Christian faith. I don't need to hear the gospel all the time. You know, I'm strong now. No, strength comes from the gospel. The other one I was mentioning about best case and worst case scenario is that you're just simply not a believer. I mean, if you don't have faith, if you don't have trust in the Lord, you're just simply not a believer. And what a believer does is, in believing the Word of God, it's hoping against hope. You know, as Abraham his hope was against the hope of the world. The hope of the world was vain. It was foolish. The hope of the world would be, don't take Isaac up there. He's the only son, the son whom you love. But the Lord told me to sacrifice him. And I'm sure that Abraham struggled greatly with taking Isaac up into Mount Moriah. I'm certain of that. I'm certain he didn't sleep because of that fact and got up early to get off doing what the Lord called him to do because he couldn't sleep. He had great turmoil in his soul over this. But he does it. Because what did he believe? Even if he had to put Isaac to death, what did he believe?
That God would raise him back up.
He knew God's character. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Genesis 12, 15, 22, we read about this, and Abraham's faith was tested. He believed God. And what was he called? It was at that point that he was declared righteous because he believed God. Believed him. And that's what the hearty trust does. It believes the promise of God. It doesn't take a nose count. How many of you believe that the Bible is true? It doesn't matter. What matters is that if you are one who calls yourself a Christian, you believe the promises of God in Scripture. You believe the Scriptures. If you don't, and if you're a pastor, resign because you're not a shepherd. Go dig ditches. Go do something else. Get out of the pulpit because you are destroying the people of God.
And you'll receive a restrictive judgment.
You will receive a judgment from God. You are already under the curse of God. And if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, and you are weakened because of your lack of partaking of the means of grace, well, get in the Word. Start reading the Word. And forget about those New Year's resolutions. Just simply get into the Word. Dig in. Start in the Gospel of John and begin reading through it. Every day, start eating. I mean, you eat all the time. You eat physical food. Eat the spiritual food. Get into the Word of God and let it nourish your soul that you might be built up and strengthened by the Holy Spirit as the Gospel is ministered to you. And the Catechism says, it goes on, it says, not only to others, but to me also. What's contained in the Gospel? The forgiveness of sins. How glorious is that? You know, you start thinking about your sins. You think about the sins that you know you've committed. The things that you've gone to the Lord, you've asked for forgiveness. And the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And the conscience is cleared. That's the working of the Holy Spirit when we cast our cares upon the Lord, when we confess our sins to Him. What about the sins that you don't know that you committed?
Those too are forgiven.
They are forgiven too. And you recognize that if you pile up all the sins that you know that you've committed and all the sins that you don't know that you've committed, that you've violated the commandments in some way, what kind of a heap do you have there?
Huge. You can't measure it.
You can't even fathom it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christ took upon Himself. He took that upon Himself. I mean, there was an offering in the Old Covenant for the people, their sins that were done in ignorance. Well, I don't know about the billions and billions of sins that I've committed, but it's a great blessing to know that in believing the Gospel, the good news that Christ has atoned for all of my sins. And I bear them no more. And what can you do? What's left to do?
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And that is the good news of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we come in your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerc.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota.
Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.